pray as we prepare to study the Word. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with your commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Amen. We have been focusing on how to connect with God. I have a series that this is now the third part of, Six Ways to Connect with God. I want to speak to you this morning about how praise and worship, and especially thanksgiving, speaking words of gratitude and love and honor to God, how this connects us with God and causes us to really develop and to build a relationship with Him. I want to start this morning with one verse from a psalm, Psalm 122. Verse 1, it says, I rejoice when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. This is a key. If you want to enter into a closer relationship with God, it's important to have the right attitude and perspective. When I come here, I'm coming with gladness. It's not out of obligation. It's not out of duty. It's not because I have to. It's because I want to be in the house of the Lord. And I want to be in the house of the Lord with other people who want to be in the house of the Lord. I can tell you, I have gone to congregations where I wasn't sure that the people wanted to be there. And that made me pretty sure I did not want to be there. And I have been in places all over the world, even where I didn't understand the language, but I wanted to be in that place because the people wanted to give honor to God. We have found kinship with people without knowing them, without knowing their history, but knowing their present motivation that they want to be in the house of the Lord and they want to give honor to Him. Once Sandy and I were in Moldova, we had an unusual collection of people. We had some local people from Chisinau who were, that's the capital of Moldova. There were Americans, Sandy and me, and maybe a few others, someone from Scotland, someone from Germany, several from Germany. There were Ukrainians and all sorts of people. And the question was, how could we all communicate? And I had to bring a message. And so we finally figured out how to line up the sequence of interpreters based on skill. And it went like this, from English to German to Russian to Moldovan. And we were in Moldova. But we had to wait for last because the Moldovan didn't understand German or English. But they did understand Russian. And it meant you couldn't say very much because of the difficulty in interpretation. But you know what? It was a joyful time. Most of us in that room couldn't understand each other. But when we worked together, we could be understood. But more than that, we were there for the same reason. We wanted to be in the house of the Lord. And we would do whatever it took to make that possible, not just for ourselves, but for each other. And there have been times when we have entered into the house of the Lord in a strange city or a strange place and immediately felt like we were home because we were with people who wanted to worship God. Their ways may have been different, their understandings, their language may be different, but those that want to come into the house of the Lord bring something. I rejoiced when they said to me, "Let's go to the house of the Lord." Now, some people don't rejoice when they come to the house of the Lord. They're too tired. But I tell you, last night we were here, and I asked, how many of you brought tired bodies? And almost all of us did. It was Friday night. It was the end of the work week for most of us, and our bodies were tired. But you know what? We brought willing spirits. We brought hearts that wanted to be there to be with God and to be with each other, and that made a difference. I rejoiced when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 100. I want to read to you five verses. shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Now, how are we told to shout there? Joyfully. Okay. Anybody shout at a Jags game? Okay. Do you shout joyfully? If they're doing well. Right? You shout to encourage them, right? Or when you're happy? Anybody shout at their own game? I know my grandson does. He's a professional shouter, rooting for his own team. Shout joyfully. But this is not to the football team, it's to the Lord. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Okay, now, you know, all the earth is not talking about the trees and the animals, the wild animals. It's talking about those of us who live on the earth. And I want you to just use your peripheral vision and see if there is a human being sitting near you. If that in the chair is human, then just smile at them and say, this psalm is speaking to you. Then it says in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Iv duet Hashem basimcha. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, when it says serve, it means serve. Serve, yeah, serve. You know why we call this a service? Because we're here to serve. And who are we here to serve, first and foremost? The Lord. That's right. In Hebrew, to serve the Lord is the same thing as to worship the Lord. They mean exactly the same thing, but you can worship the Lord by serving the Lord many different ways. Those who are running the sound equipment, the projector, they're serving the Lord. Those who play and sing for us on stage, they're serving the Lord. When you sing, you're serving the Lord. You're worshiping. When you're taking care of the nursery or you're working the oneg, that's serving the Lord too. If, and only if, you're doing it as an act of worship. It is possible to play music and not serve the Lord. It's possible to actually sing religious songs and not serve the Lord because your heart's not in it, your mind's not in it. You're just going through the motions. Serve the Lord, here's the key, with gladness. Now, let's just practice something. I know this is hard for many of us. Let's practice smiling. Okay, so look at one of the people next to you, and if they're smiling adequately, give them two thumbs up. Okay. You know, sometimes you have to practice things in order to get good at it. Some people are happy all the time. They're always smiling. You watch Joel Osteen on TV. He was born with a smile. His mother says he always is smiling. He says he can't stop it. For me, it takes more effort. It wasn't long ago, Sandy noticed I was facing some difficulties, and it was showing on my face, and she said, you got to deal with your face. Something like that, in a loving way. She said, you can't look like that. That's not going to help anybody. And I realized, you know, you're right. Sometimes you have to speak to that part of your person that is reluctant to go forward, and you just have to tell yourself what to do. David, you know, understood this when he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Sometimes you have to tell yourself what you're going to do. Your spiritual authority that God gives you can rule over your physical nature in being and your emotional being. And you can begin to say, I'm going to be positive. I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to use my memory to remember good things that God has done. I'm going to remember how he has turned difficult situations around. I'm going to remember how he's gotten me through things. I'm going to remember his faithfulness. I will remember things that took a long time but ended up working out. In order to encourage myself, I'm going to wear a tie that encourages me. Ladies, wear the shoes that encourage you. Whatever it takes, do what's necessary to encourage yourself so you can stay strong. Eat well. Exercise. Practice being with people who are the way you want to be. If you want to be sullen, hang around with people who are sullen. It will help you. If you want to be negative, find the most negative people you can be in fellowship with them, because it will help you accomplish that negativity. If you want to give up, find a group of people that has given up and hang out with them. All these groups are available. If you want to have gladness, work on it. And I'm not talking about being a fake. I'm talking about sometimes we have to be deliberate, intentional about even our own emotional condition, our heart, what we think about, how we process things. And then it says in verse 2, last part, come before him with joyful singing. Come before him with joyful singing. What kind of singing does it say? Isn't this interesting? That we are commanded and instructed to come with joy. We are to do what it takes to come into the house of the Lord with joy. Now, I understand that in difficult times, in times like this, when we're in difficult circumstances, that it's a challenge sometimes to hold on to joy and gladness. Is that true? Can you verify it?
Yeah.
That sometimes you wake up in the morning and it's not easy? Sometimes when you want to go to bed, it's not easy. You can tell if life is difficult. It has a certain sign. It's hard to get up in the morning, and it's hard to go to sleep at night. And if that's going on, which it is for many people, then you understand life is difficult. And so you have to work at what you're going to do in order to protect your joy so that you can come into the house of the Lord and you can enter into the joy of the Lord. The kingdom of God is not just referring to heaven, the afterlife, the next world. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be a charismaniac, or that you have to suspend your brain and empty it and be out of emotional control. It simply means that you embrace joy under God's authority. And you become intentional about it. A believer who doesn't want to be joyful is going to have trouble. Because you'll read things in scriptures that you won't be able to agree with. And you'll have to find a congregation to be in that joins you in not agreeing. Which means you'll end up being with a congregation that doesn't want to be joyful, doesn't like the scriptures about joy, and will organize themselves not to be joyful. And it will work. You can find sad congregations that want to remain sad. Every person, every community goes through difficulty, but we have to decide what will be the normal state of mind that we want to walk in and preserve. Verse 3, this is the key point for focus. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now look at one of those friendly people nearby and just say, you didn't make yourself. God made you. God made you. It wasn't just that your parents came together and now there you are. God made you. God had you in mind. He prepared a soul for your body before your body existed. And that's why the scripture says, before you were knit together in your mother's womb, I knew you. He knew that eternal part of us that comes from wherever it is and is implanted in a body and survives the death of that body. He knows us. He's the one who made us. Know that the Lord himself is God. There are a lot of reasons why people come together, But this is the main reason why we should come together, to know that the Lord himself is God. And we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I come here first and foremost because I want to honor God. I want to thank him. I want to express my gratitude to him. I want to give praise and worship to him. And I want him to know that's how I feel. I don't want to make him read my mind, though he knows my thoughts. I don't want to leave things unsaid to him, though he already understands the words before they've been formed. I want him to know. I want to be explicit with God. And I can tell you this, I can worship the Lord all by myself. Last night I asked how many people worship the Lord in the shower. A fair number. How many on today? How many of us are shower worshipers? It's good, clean worship. You can worship the Lord in the shower. Sandy often is praying and hearing from the Lord when she's ironing. How many of you have that experience? Does anybody have intimacy with God when they're gardening? Look at this. I'm not asking, do you garden? I'm asking, when you're gardening, do you sometimes feel close with God? Some of us worship when we're driving. It can be a little odd for the other drivers on the road. But nowadays, you know, with Bluetooth headsets and mobile phones, cell phones, people just walk down the street talking to others. And it used to be that only delusional people did that. And now, because, you know, of my past experience seeing people walking down the street talking to non-existent figures, I'm always wondering what kind of person that one is. And I look to see, do they have a Bluetooth headset on? If they do, I give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm not always sure, but I do that. You can worship the Lord all by yourself. And so the question is, why come together? I'll tell you why I do. Because there's something special about joining together with people who want to honor God together. It multiplies. It strengthens. It enhances our worship. When you are with other people who want to worship God, it helps you worship God. You could have the experience. He did say that. When we come together and we join together with other people who want to honor God, it makes us stronger too. Because there may be things we have to overcome. Maybe a hard day, a boss said something difficult, rude, or unkind to us. We got to get over it. Maybe we failed a test at school. Maybe something happened and we've got to find our way through it. And if you're with other people who are getting through, then you can strengthen yourself and you can move on. It's important not to be isolated or alone. It's also valuable to use Shabbat for coming to the Lord, to take Shabbat with the Lord. You know, the scripture teaches us that on the sixth day, God wrapped up the work, and he took a day off. And then he invited us to join him on his day off. This is not a work day for the Lord. This is a day when we're serving God on Shabbat, and we're fellowshipping with him. It's a day to honor him. It's a day to be with other people, because it will make you stronger. It will refresh you. Now, some people, and I'm not trying to belittle this. I just want to make it clear. Some people haven't grasped that Shabbat is a 24-hour period. And because of that, they think they can get rested and refreshed in 90 minutes, in 120 minutes, and something like that. And do the math. Let's just take 2 hours. 2 hours out of 24 is what? 1/12. Can you turn that into a percentage? 8.5%. Thank you very much. We got some good guys here. pretty fast. 8.5%. Okay, is 8.5% less than 10%? Okay, just checking. So many people think that they can get all the benefits of Shabbat from 10% of Shabbat. And so their vision is, I'm gonna use that 10%. I'm going to use 20%. I'm going to use half. And the fact is, God has made us in such a way we need a 24-hour block to be rested and refreshed with the Lord. We need to worship Him in different ways. We need to come into the house of the Lord. It's not enough to stop the work. We need to synagogue together. And some people, according to Hebrews 10, forsake the gathering together. Hebrews is in the New Testament. Is that correct? And who was it written to? Hebrews. That's right. There you go. That's a simple answer, Hebrews. Or you could say another way, it's written to Messianic Jews. But it was not written exclusively to Messianic Jews, because if it was, then we'd have our own Bible that we don't share with the rest of the body. Right? So it's written for all believers, but it was written concretely to Messianic believers. And this is what it says in chapter 10, verse 25. Don't neglect assembling together, as is the custom of some. Don't neglect it. The actual language is interesting. It says something like this: don't leave behind. And that implies that people had been attending to the assembly together, and then they left it behind. And when it says assembling together, it's a very interesting word combination. The root word that is used for this, that's translated assembling, is synagogue. And it's episynagogein. It means don't forsake gathering together in your synagogue. You can understand why it doesn't always get translated that way. I mean, do you understand why? Because it's controversial. It's much easier to say assemble to people who like less Jewish terms. But it's preserved there for a reason, and that is so that we can understand what it's talking about. Gathering together in synagogues. Don't neglect or leave behind synagoguing together, as is the custom of some. And when it says custom, it also is saying habit. And it's saying that there are some people who, actually, as I understand it, everyone in those first generations who were following Yeshua were taught you gather together. You gather together as a community in a messianic synagogue, because that was the only form originally. There were synagogues and messianic synagogues, and they had fellowship in many different places, in the temple in Jerusalem. They had it in public places. They had it in homes. But they formed a community together, and they lived as a community together, and they gathered regularly. Now, I know it wasn't Paul who encouraged people to forsake synagoguing together. Let me explain what I mean. Paul, it says in the book of Acts, was in the custom on Yom Shabbat to go to where? The synagogue. That's exactly right. It was his custom, it was his habit on Saturdays to be in the synagogue worshiping God and participating in the Torah service, where the Torah and the Haftorah were read. I know it wasn't Yeshua who started forsaking the synagoguing together, because it was his habit too. Do you remember when he was in the synagogue and Isaiah 61 was being read? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, right? That was on what day? It was Shabbat. What time in Shabbat? Yom Shabbat, the day of Shabbat. When in the service? During the Torah service, right? When the readings from the Torah and the readings from the prophets, the Haftorah. And then he added a drash. He spoke and added commentary to that. It was the custom, better to say the habit, of Paul. It was the habit of Yeshua. It was the habit of the early believers to synagogue together on Shabbat. And yet, by the time the letter to Hebrews is written, some people are out of the habit already. Do you know that if you get out of the habit, it's hard to get back in the habit? And that's true for every habit. Isn't it true? It's easier to keep going in a habit than it is to break the habit and then to try to reestablish it. How many people have ever dieted? How many have ever dieted for a period of time? How many people have ever broken their diet? I just keep my hand up the whole time for this stuff. Isn't it true that if you break the habit, it's hard to get back in the habit? This is what this is speaking to. Don't get out of the habit of synagoguing together. You see, there's a temptation that some people have. Well, I don't need to be at synagogue. It's just me and the Lord. I can be with the Lord anywhere. Well, of course, we all can be with the Lord anywhere. The problem is when you have that attitude, you isolate yourself, alienate yourself, and you say, I don't need the others. It's just me. And pretty soon, it will be. Yeah. Now, there is another temptation. And that is people say, well, I don't need to gather in the synagogue. I've got my own Shabbat group. And I can tell you this. For people who have that feeling, they shouldn't be members of a congregation. They should say, you know what? I just want to be out on my own. Because the pattern that we have inherited as the body of Messiah is to be a community together with order and with peace and with unity together, and not to be factions that are just off to the side, that go in their own directions and can't be at peace and unity with one another. When David said, I rejoice when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord, you know what was on his mind? This is a good place to be. During the week, I'm out in battle. During the week, I'm dealing with the political situation, the economic situation. I've got to deal with people who are against each other. But when I come to the house of the Lord, it's so fine. And he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Right? Now, that means it was pleasant for him. When he imagined himself standing at the door, what would we call a doorkeeper here? A greeter or an usher, right? He'd say, I would rather serve as a greeter because it's actually nice to be in the house of the Lord and to welcome others. That attitude moves people forward. Let's go back to Psalm 100 because I want to keep referring to that. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's an interesting metaphor because it connects to the picture of being a flock and a community. And then verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving, batodah, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, because the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. So this tells us something. When we come into the presence of the Lord, we don't want to come empty-handed. We don't want to come empty-hearted. We don't want to come empty-headed. We want to come with thanksgiving. We come already prepared to give thanks to the Lord. Now, I understand in times of mourning and times of great difficulty, or if something suddenly happens to you that's difficult right before you get here, you're not going to come in that attitude. But this is the normal way to come with thanksgiving, where we've got at least one thing that we're prepared to offer the Lord because we are grateful. I heard such good things from people last night when I came to the house of the Lord. It encouraged me. I stayed after the Oneg, late, hearing reports about what God was doing in the prisons through our prison ministry. It was amazing to hear the encouraging reports. One of them was actually funny. One Orthodox Jewish guy said to Deborah Holt, who's one of the volunteers and members of our Beth Israel prison ministry team, he said to her, I hope you can understand that this is funny. He said, "Whew, I almost came to the Lord yesterday." And he was saying, like, I just caught myself. I was so close. Whew. An Orthodox Jewish guy who is coming to a messianic prison service because he wants to be, as a number of other Orthodox Jews, they want to be in the presence of messianic Jews worshiping God. One prisoner said to his fellow prisoners, "You know why I'm here? Because these people love me." Hardened guy saying, "I feel the love. That's why I'm here." Others saying, "I just like to be with people who love God." Sometimes God uses the attraction of joyful servants, and that's enough. When you have joy serving God, worshiping God, showing genuine love to other people, it's magnetic. It draws people. I was hearing different reports. I just kept staying until everyone ran out of energy and needed to go to bed. And I left physically tired and spiritually full. I left with encouragement. And I said to the Lord, "There's one thing for sure going on. You're trying to encourage me. You're trying to help me be strong. Thank you, Lord, for good news." I don't need just good news for myself. When I hear your good news, it makes me stronger too. It makes a difference in my life. This tells us to come into God's gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Now, some people don't sing very well. And for you, I'll give this simple instruction. Just make some noise during the singing portions, but try not to be so loud that you disturb other people. I grew up in a synagogue where our noise was neither joyful nor music. And we had our own habits. On Saturday morning, the old guys would set this crazy pace that the young people couldn't keep up with. And they would just run through the service. And we, on the other hand, would plod through it. And we'd end at different times on different parts, and then we'd have moments where we'd all catch up, and then we'd run some more laps. We did not sing well. We did not have guitars or musical instruments in our conservative synagogue, and I remember we got a new rabbi who had learned a bunch of new tunes for our traditional Hebrew prayers. It was painful. Because we had in our synagogue some people who thought it's just wrong to change the tune. And for years, they would sing the old tune. And the rabbi, his wife, and the major part of the synagogue would sing the new tune. It was rough. Was it joyful? Not always. But my advice to you is, if you don't sing very well, make some noise, just not much noise. One of the mistakes some people make is when they read Joyful Noise, They don't understand that that's poetic. And they think they're doing God the greatest service by being the loudest in the room. There are some people who connect better during the service with the Hebrew prayers, and I would say use those prayers to honor God and draw close at that time. Other people connect better in English, and I would say to you, use that. Don't judge the one or the other. Different people connect with God in different ways. We do different kinds of things to help everyone connect with God. There are some people who, their high point, I think, is the announcements. I'm not sure. I'm making that analysis by the process of elimination. If nothing else was a high point, maybe it was the announcements. There are some people who connect with God better during the sermon or the message, and I would say use that time to honor the Lord. Stay alert. Be aware that when God's touching you, He wants a response from you. Take notes on things. Pay attention to what He wants you to remember. I don't trust my memory. Do you trust yours? No, I can tell you I don't trust yours either. And you shouldn't trust mine. When I want to remember something, I write it down. I take note of it. If I'm not in a position where I can write, I practice repeating things in my mind until it's locked in and I've really got it. That doesn't guarantee that I'll pay attention to it later. Because even doing that, something can take it away. Have any of you had memory courses or active listening courses where you have learned to retain certain things? You know from those courses, you can improve your memory, but it doesn't mean you can perfect your memory. And there have been times when the Lord touched me during a certain part of the service, and I knew I needed to hold on to it, and I lost it. Have you had that experience? Don't lose things. Do what's necessary in order to hold on to it. The key is not to say one part is the best part. The key is to say the Lord is the best part. Keep Him in focus. Because it's not just what you get out of this, it's what you bring to Him during the service. That's why it's called a service. Now, Sandy and I have lived in different countries. We can compare different people groups and the way they think. And we know that Americans often judge a service based on what they get out of it, not what they bring to it. And that's why many Americans will say, well, I'm not being fed. Because we're thinking, what am I going to get out of it? And if you know, America is an obese culture, right? And it's because our orientation is, what are we going to get fed on? We feed ourselves. We think too much about what we're going to eat and not enough about what we're going to do with what we get. And we don't receive because we don't have the right attitude. We're consumers rather than servants. Servants of the Lord. Keep Him in focus. You will get more out of every part of the service if you keep Him in focus during that. If you say, oh, I don't like these songs, and you cross your arms, your body language is saying, I'm not keeping the Lord in focus right now because I don't like this music. Sandy and I have lived in countries where for months we had to learn how, or years, we had to worship the Lord with people who were not using our language. And if we just said, I don't like the music, guess what? We'd be dead. We survived that by honoring the Lord during those times. We learned how to honor God with people who are speaking Hungarian, which is one of the hardest languages in the world to learn, almost as hard as Chinese and Japanese. But if you're honoring the Lord and that's your intention, you can receive something. Keep the Lord in focus. And one of the ways to keep Him in focus is to talk to Him about what makes you thankful and to be concrete with Him. You can do it right now. You can just fill in the blank. Lord, I thank You for... Now you fill in the blank and just be concrete. Last night I could say, Lord, I thank you for my friend who just got that new job. You fill in the blank. You can say to the Lord, I'm grateful because. And fill in the blank and practice being concrete. And do it right now. You know, just say, oh, you know what? It's during the sermon I'm focusing on the Lord, not on the rabbi. I'm going to turn my attention to the Lord and say, Lord, right now I'm grateful. And here's why. Right now I'm thankful. And here's why. I'm here to serve you, Lord. I've come here to honor you together with other people who are honoring you. I have come here to give something to you, Lord. When this is your attitude and your perspective, your service to God will be powerful and you will connect with God. It's not what you feed yourself by alone, it's that you honor Him. Know that the Lord, He is God. Know that. Remind yourself that. Why am I here? Because the Lord is God. Why am I here with you? Because you know the Lord is God. Why am I here together now? Because I want to honor God now. That's why. This week's Torah portion, Deuteronomy 26, verse 10 and 11, says you can give thanks during the offering, during the collection of tithes and offerings. It's actually part of our worship. If you have your Bibles, wave your Bible to me. Let me just see. I congratulate all of you, the rest of you, empty-handed. I hope you're sitting next to someone who's not. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 10. This gives us a pattern. Then you shall set the first fruits, but it's in the context of first fruits and tithes generally. Then you shall set the first fruits before the Lord your God. Who do you set them before? The Lord your God. That's right. When you bring your offerings, who are you giving them to? The Lord. And you will worship before the Lord your God. You see, while we're giving our tithes and our offerings, we're worshiping. Verse 11, so you shall rejoice, I love this, in every good thing which the Lord your God has given you in your house. You and the Levite and the foreigner who is among you. Now, I'm a Levite. I come from the tribe of Levi. There are other Levites here in the house. How many Levites here? One, two, three, four, five, several of us. And, I mean, my family is from the tribe of Levi. That's who we are. So you can say, oh, there are some Levites in the house. And it says, the foreigner who's among you. How many people were born in another country? Can we see? Look at this. Do you all mind standing for just a second? Just so we can honor God's work of gathering. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? We can say, okay, so you got Levites in the house, you got foreigners in the house, and now it's the rest of you. Y'all can be seated. Okay, so it says you, if you're not a Levite or a foreigner, you and the Levite and the foreigner who is among you, if you can rejoice in every good thing the Lord has given to you and your house, you and the Levite and the foreigner who is among you. So you and I are called to rejoice when anyone in the house receives something good. When a foreigner, when a Levite, when any other kind of person receives a blessing from God, we're called to rejoice, to enter into the joy, to celebrate it. Not to complain, why wasn't it me? You know, that selfish prayer, gimme, gimme, gimme. Why? Wow. We want to put that behind. We want to learn to rejoice in every good thing God has done and not just the good things He's done for me. Right? Not just the good things He's done for you, the good things He's done for all of us. We rejoice together in. Verse 11 says, you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given you. How many good things? Every. Not just one, not just two, not just the really big ones. Sometimes people decide they're not going to rejoice until they get the one thing that they want. They get 10 good things and they don't rejoice, and they wow, wow, wow over that one thing that hasn't come yet. Don't put yourself in that position. Rejoice in every good thing. Every good thing. I'm rejoicing today. I'm intentional about it, and I'm not putting on a facade. I'm not talking about being a fake who pretends to be rejoicing. I'm talking about being honest with God. I may be waiting for something myself, but if God gives you something, I know He's trying to encourage me too. If you waited on the Lord and received what you were waiting on, I know if I wait on the Lord, I'll receive what I'm waiting on. In His time. In His season, in His way, and it will make me stronger. I encourage you, connect with the Lord through praise, worship, and thanksgiving, and come into the house with thanksgiving. Come into God's house with concrete thanksgiving, and if you do this, you will find yourself growing with Him and with one another. And not only that, I'll tell you the other thing. It will cause you to be effective bringing the good news to the Jewish people. If you love one another the way I have loved you, Yeshua said, all men will know you're my disciples. This is a secret to spreading the good news of Yeshua. It's to be glad in the things God has done and to show love one to another so that it's visible. And it will be attractive. It is what our people are looking for. Real love of God, real love of one another. The two great commands, Yeshua said, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Love your neighbors, yourself. The whole Torah and the prophets hang on this. And everything contained in them depends on elevating these to the highest priority. That's why we want to connect with God with thanksgiving, with praise, with worship. Why we come into the house of the Lord. Why we don't forsake synagoguing together. We synagogue together. We strengthen ourselves and one another. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for good news. Lord, thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for breakthroughs. Thank you for your perfect timing. Thank you for the future you've planned for us and the good that you've planned for us and the hope that you have planned for us. We want to receive that and to tell others about all that you have done. Lord, we want our hearts to be filled with thanksgiving. We want to not only have thanksgiving, we want to express it. That you would know that we love you. That you would hear it from our lips. That you would be certain that our love is true. You are true to us. We want to be true to you. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. I want to ask Thomas and Brenda. Brenda, are you still in the room? Can the two of you come up, join us up here? I will. We have a special oneg in honor of the great news of engagement. And so we're going to take them out after we finish, and you'll be able to greet them and congratulate them during the oneg. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Come meet us in the Oneg.